This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. When his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found with child through the Holy Spirit. Joseph, her husband, since he was a righteous man, yet unwilling to expose her to shame, betrothed to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found with child through the Holy Spirit. Joseph, her husband, since he was a righteous man, yet unwilling to expose her to shame, decided to divorce her quietly. Such was his intention, when behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary, your wife, into your home. For it is through the Holy Spirit that this child has been conceived in her. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke, he did as the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took his wife into his home. He had no relations with her until she bore a son, and he named him Jesus. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Well, I'd like to focus your attention a little bit tonight on the power of a name. Names matter. They're more than just labels. They shape identity. You could think, for example, of this parish here, St. Paul's. We all know the story of St. Paul, right? His first name was Saul, a name that spread terror amongst early Christians because he was a persecutor, as we read in the book of Acts. And then God knocked him off his horse and changed his name from Saul to Paul. Gave him a new mission, new focus, turned his life around and gave him a new mission, new name. Names tell us who we are, how we belong, right? And then tonight, in the first reading from Isaiah and in the gospel, it reminds us that God does the same to us and to his people. He gives us a name. Now, parents, the words you speak to your children matter, right? When you call them, not just their name, but other names you have for them, sweetheart, champ, sunshine, whatever your name is for your child, you're shaping their heart, the way they see themselves, right? Power of words from a parent. We all know also, some of us are older, remember some of those names maybe our parents called us in times of frustration, and maybe some of that shaped our vision of ourselves. Lazy, trouble. Or think of spouses, or girlfriends and boyfriends, spouses. Those little love names they have for one another. A name that only the two of us know about and share. Honey, love, rock. A friend of mine calls his wife Lamb. No idea where that came from. But that's her name. Lamb, lamb chops, lammy, all different variations. It defines the relationship, right? Expresses, you're unique to me. We have a relationship that no one else has the way we do. And those names express it. You're important enough to me that I give you a unique name. I remember as a kid, I was always jealous of those families that had nicknames for their kids. My family wasn't so creative, right? I did have a nickname, which I won't reveal, but we weren't so creative, but a lot of my friends, they had great nicknames, you know? Just different names that they came up, and all these parents would come up. I won't go through the litany, but they all, I was like, wow, they must really love their kid. They gave him a nickname, you know? He must be special or unique or cool, right? This kind of thing. Proverbs tells us, life and death are in the power of the tongue. Our words can bless or wound. In tonight's first reading, Isaiah gives through God's inspiration, gives his people a new name. God speaks a new name over Israel. He says, when the day comes, no more will they call you forsaken. Imagine if that was your name, forsaken. Like, what happened? Why are they forsaken? Rejected. Unwanted. Imagine if that's the way they were named, this people that had been slaves, forgotten by their God, run over by everybody else, used and abused and thrown aside. No longer will you be called forsaken, or your land desolate, lifeless, barren, useless. But you shall be called, and listen to this new name, my delight, and your land espoused. I want to marry that land. It's so unique amongst all the other lands that I want it different than everyone else. Not anyone else is my delight. You are my delight. And then he invokes that image that I already did. As a young man marries a virgin, your builder shall marry you. You're going to become the one he chooses. Just like a bridegroom rejoices over his brides, that's the way God's going to rejoice over you. That's the image and the name that God gives us. Delight, espoused. Names that reveal a relationship. Why was that so powerful for the Israelites? Because for many times they didn't treat God as the one who delighted in them or didn't behave like spouses. They rejected him. They went their separate way. They went around, worshiped other gods, ignored him, didn't show up in the synagogue on Sundays, right? They were out loving other things. And started probably to believe, that's who I am. Desolate, unfaithful, rejected, not wanted. They started to define themselves before God. And then God comes in as Savior and says, no, 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 no. You think too much of yourself. You don't have the power to define our relationship. As your father, as your parent, as your mother, as the one who generated you, I will define for you the terms. You are for me this, regardless of how you behave. You are beloved, delightful, because that's who I choose to treat you as. I define it. I name you. You won't name our relationship. And that's why it's salvific. It's a game changer, because they realize, hey, even when I've failed, I'm not a failure. Even when I've sinned, I'm not a sinner. Sure, I've sinned, but it doesn't define me. God, my Savior, my Redeemer, defines me. Parents speak words of life over their children. They call them by names that bless them, not that wound them. Spouses use words that echo God's tenderness to one another. Right? And then we come to the gospel. Joseph is afraid to marry Mary because she's with child. She's not behaving as a fiancé, a future spouse. Like, if you're dating someone, you already find out they're pregnant by someone. Whoa, I might have called you this, but you ain't behaving like that. Relationships change now. You're no longer that for me. In fact, I got a whole litany of other names I could call you now. That's who you are for me now, because of what you've chosen, what you've done. Imagine Mary, how exposed she felt, how dependent. How is Joseph going to receive this news? I know the truth. I know I've God revealed. I don't know how to explain it other than this is what the angel told me. She had to trust Joseph with that story. And then Joseph, being a righteous man, not knowing how to take it, what to do, how do I call her? And that's when the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, Joseph, calls him by name, Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary, and what's he call her? Your wife, into your home. And he tells him it's through the Holy Spirit. And then he says, and the one she's to bear, this is the name you're to give. Remember what the prophet said, the angel says? Remember Isaiah? God called him, he's going to be Emmanuel, God with us. You're not rejected, you're not abandoned. God's not absent or aloof. He's going to be with you, in it, alongside you. Even when you push him away, he's going to be right there. That's who God is. That's his name, Emmanuel, which means God is with us. And so Joseph wakes up, and he does what the angel says. He took his wife into his home, and he named him Jesus. What does Jesus mean? God saves. When you need saving, that's who God is. He's your savior. He's your defender. He's your lover. He's the one who delights in you, even when you don't delight in him. That's who God is. That's his name. And that's the name for us. Two little takeaways that I would encourage you. Children, you might already know this, but ask again. Ask your parents, why did you choose this name for me? Right? Why did you name me Mark? My brother would say, because you're a Martian, when I was growing up. I mean, because you're a Martian. You know? Or when he was angry at me, you're Mark, like a stain. That's older brothers do. They're supposed to humble you. And then my dad would say, no. Mark is an evangelist who wrote the gospel, right? And the Romans, he was a son of a god of war. You're a warrior. That was my dad's answer why he chose to name me Mark. Kids, ask your parents, why did you name me what you named me? A second thing you can do is then, those names of love that you have for your spouse or for your children, renew them. Use them more frequently. And if there's names you use that you're not proud of, eliminate them. Don't refer to them. You can say, hey, that behavior is this, but you are not that. You are my delight, my beloved, my chosen. You are that for me, and I define it. So let's ask the Lord also, and this is a third graduate level invitation. Ask your parents the name for you. Renew those names of love that you share with your spouse. Third one, in prayer, ask the Lord, what is your name for me? How do you call me? How do you look at me? I know how I behave. What do you see? What do you say about me? What's the word, the name you speak over my soul? And be open to hearing in faith that word, what God speaks to you in your heart, what you might discover and read in Scripture, and let the Lord mold your own view of yourself through his revelation. Amen. Merry Christmas.